Go ahead and turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, and as you do that, let me continue to share with you as much information about me as you can, so you'll continue to understand me better. Me and all my glorious awkwardness, that's what I'll call it, glorious awkwardness. Early this week, I got it at the end of last week, but I didn't check my email on Friday. So on Monday, I came in and there was an email from the director that was sent out to all the employees in the adult services asking us to go online and complete a personality test, a free personality test. And it's one of those sites that I've been on before. I've taken it before. I've taken the test so many times, I prophetically knew in advance which personality type I was going to get, or at least within one or two options. Before answering the 100-question test, and I think I took it on Thursday morning or Wednesday morning, before I took that test, I told one of the other teachers in advance that I was going to be either ENFP, which is four letters for one of the personality types, ENFP or INFP. If I'm extra social at the time that I take the test, I get ENFP, which E is for extrovert. If I'm not really in a people kind of mood that day, then I register more on the INFP, the introverted side. So on that particular day, on that particular time when I took the test, when I finished the test, I turned around and told the other teacher, good news, today I like people. I scored a little bit higher on the extrovert side, and so that was good news for the teachers that day. This particular test that I've taken before does 16 different personality types, four different categories where you fall on one side or the other. And for each of the personality types, all 16 of them, they also provide a list of well-known people, people that you maybe know from TV or movies or books or all those sorts of things. They give you a list of people that fall into the same category of personalities that you fall into. And so here's a list of some of the people who are ENFP types like your pastor. I'll start with just a few movie characters. Many of you are familiar with the 1971 classic Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Well, consider me Willy Wonka. So there's a Willy Wonka side to me. For some of the younger ones that have read the books or watched the movies, when it comes to the Hunger Games trilogy, my personality is like Peeta Mellark, that sort of a person. And I know Sylvia is going to love this one because she knows it's true. If you've watched The Office, I'm similar in many ways to the always hilarious and inappropriate Michael Scott. Michael Scott is in that category. There were quite a few actors and comedians on the list, and I've often wondered over the years whether I should have tried some sort of an acting thing or some sort of an improv comedy thing. Will Smith, Robin Williams on the list, but the one that resonated the most with me, as soon as I saw the name, I knew this was right. And the name I saw was Robert Downey Jr. Can you see the resemblance a little bit? I mean, I see it, I feel it. When I see the picture, I resonate with Robert Downey Jr. I always knew, even before taking the test, that there was something special about him. I just couldn't quite put my finger on it. I didn't know it was because we were so much alike. The combination of comedy and total coolness is a difficult combination to pull off, but Robert Downey Jr. and myself, we do fairly well. For the message this morning, I want to introduce you to someone who, in many ways, I feel like, same way with Robert Downey Jr., maybe a little stronger than that, someone I feel like is just like me, the prophet Jeremiah. I can't necessarily prove that the prophet Jeremiah and I share a common personality type, but it is definitely a vibe that I get the more I read what he wrote, the more I read about his story. And I sure wish the personality tests that we take online would have a list of the Bible characters so you could see which Bible character resonates with your personality. It would be nice for all of us to go in the Bible and have a person where we could read their story and feel like we share a special connection to that person, where we could more easily see ourselves in their shoes and experiencing what they experienced. And for me, that person would be Jeremiah. So go ahead and stand with me as I read from Jeremiah chapter 1. This is the very beginning of his story and his call. Jeremiah chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 4 through 10. The word of the Lord came to me, to Jeremiah, The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. The word of the Lord this morning. Go ahead and have a seat. If the only thing that you know about the book of Jeremiah is the often quoted 29 verse 11 passage, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. If that's the only thing you know about Jeremiah, then you really don't know him. Same as if you don't think I'm cool like Robert Downey Jr. If you don't think we're alike, then it's because you just simply don't know me fully yet. Flowers may be on the background, so with the picture, whenever we see that passage, we see it all over the place. Flowers may be on the background of the Jeremiah 29:11 passage on the screen, but flowers were not in the background of the book of Jeremiah when it was composed. That whole hope and a future thing was written to people in exile, people taken into captivity, people banished from their homeland, people stripped of all sorts of things that made them who they were as God's people. There are different proposals for what the name Jeremiah means, but the most likely meaning is the Lord throws or the Lord hurls. Here is Israel charging towards its own self-destruction through its own disobedience. Israel is on its way toward exile, and then picture Jeremiah hurled into the middle of that mess to be God's voice to people not wanting to hear God's voice. It was a time of great upheaval, and you would think that with an upheaval like that going on, with so much at stake, the messenger of God, the messenger that God would send to Israel in that kind of a moment, would be fiercely bold and confident. The kind of leader who could march into the middle of God's people, call it like it was, and get them to change course. But that is not who God sends. That's not Jeremiah. In the words of one commentary writer, from the standpoint of temperament and disposition, no man was more ill-fitted for his task than Jeremiah. Only a God who could looketh upon the heart would have selected this strange, sensitive, timid, introspective youth to fill the gigantic task of being a prophet to the nations. That's Jeremiah. That's the kind of description where, when I read it introspectively, I say to myself, I think I know that guy. This Bible is filled with people where I learn a few things about their stories, and I relate to a few things in their stories, but I really do have to work at it. People in the Bible where it's a stretch for me to relate to their story because their personalities seem very different than my own. I try to fit myself into their situation, and it feels like I'm one of Cinderella's awful stepsisters trying to put on a shoe that simply doesn't fit because it wasn't made for me. I can fit a part of my foot or a part of my life in there, but only so much. But when it comes to the story of Jeremiah, something feels a bit more natural. It feels like his shoe fits in a way that other shoes do not. Confident and successful heroes who do not deal with inner conflicts wear a certain kind of shoe. Jeremiah and I wear a different kind of shoe. And the shoe that we wear, or at least I feel that we wear, are the shoes of people called to a vocation where you constantly feel ill-equipped. As Jeremiah says, ah, sovereign Lord, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. That is Jeremiah's response to the God who just told him, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. God says, I've known everything about you since before you ever existed. And Jeremiah essentially asks, did you know that I can't speak? It really is a stupid response, and I know full well what stupid responses sound like because I do them regularly. God is in need of someone who can function as a mouthpiece to the people of Israel, and the guy that God sends is a guy who thinks he cannot speak. Perhaps you've noticed this before, but in Scripture, God seems to make a habit of picking ill-equipped people for the job. That may appear to be mean, but it is purposeful. While they may be ill-equipped in terms of their own faculties and abilities, it does force them to depend heavily upon the provision of God to live out their calling. And when the calling is for someone who has trouble speaking to be a mouthpiece for God, that means that that person needs to rely on God to provide the words. And so we have God saying to Jeremiah, "You're going to go to every person I tell you to go to, and you're going to say every word I command you to say. Don't be afraid. I am with you and will rescue you. Don't be afraid. I am with you." It's one of those things that keeps popping up time and time again in Scripture. Don't be afraid. I am with you. I keep telling you that by nature, I'm an introvert, and one of these days, I am going to have a collection of my school friends, childhood classmates come in and testify on my behalf that what I keep telling you is the truth. Public speaking really is a stressful experience. There may be things that make it feel better, but I've yet to find something that makes it go away completely. Now, I can tell you this with 100% certainty. I would not be doing this if God did not call me to it. Were it not for God's call, I would be doing something else behind the scenes and definitely not up front. God's call came when I was much younger and long before I knew how to pretend to be an extrovert. It came at a time when, to quote Jeremiah, I did not know how to speak. After 3 years of high school, I found myself a bit more talkative in my senior year, but all of the progress made crumbled the moment I went off to college. Totally new environment, all sorts of new people, and back into the shell from whence I came. And then the same sort of progress where 3 years later, I came out of my shell by my last year at Olivet, where I had all sorts of people said, where were you the last 3 years? Like, I didn't know you. You've been here, but I didn't know anything about you. I never heard you really talk. Since that time, I've managed to spend more time out of the shell than in. And obviously, I've managed to survive 2 years and 5 months of public speaking for this. So how have I managed to do that despite my personality issues? Because I'm learning something that Jeremiah lived out in his life. And here's a quote on courage that I actually heard rather recently that captures Jeremiah's life perfectly. Courage is fear that has said its prayers. Courage is fear that has said its prayers. When those fears start to creep in, you have to know how to pray. If you don't know how to pray, those fears will take over, those fears will cripple, those fears will keep you from living out the call God has for you. And so as we dive into the book of Jeremiah, and we're going to be doing that for at least a couple more weeks, if not more, keep in mind that this is a person, the person writing this is a person who is hurled into a challenging situation for which he is not suited to be the mouthpiece of God to God's people. And every step along the way, he needs to depend on God for every single word he is commanded to utter. The messages being delivered to God's people are not coming from a bold and confident person, but rather from the timid and dependent. And here's the kicker for Jeremiah. Not only does he have to do this whole public speaking thing that's bad enough for a timid person, not only that, but the messages he is commanded to bring to the people of Israel are far from pleasant. Like so many of the other prophets in Scripture, the relationship between Jeremiah and the people of Israel is dangerous. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verse 34, when Jesus looks over the city of Jerusalem, he says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you are not willing." Jeremiah is sent with messages about the looming dangers if Israel continues on the path she is on, but Israel insists on her own way. The problem isn't the message or the messenger. The problem is that there are things the recipient of the message does not want to hear. Over the next few weeks, we will look at some of the specific messages that Jeremiah had to deliver to God's people. But one important question for us this morning is this: how willing are we to hear the things we need to hear through the people God has called to speak to his people? I say that question as someone who is not far from removed from being and sitting where you sit. The time that I've spent being up front and doing the talking is far outweighed by the number of years I've spent sitting underneath the preaching and the teaching of others. And so I know what it's like to sit and sift through the things I hear and decide what stuff I'll pay attention to and what stuff I may ignore, what things I'll consider doing or consider believing, and what things I won't take the time to consider. The attitude we see present in Israel time and time again in relation to the prophets that God sent was an attitude of disregard. Repeatedly, they would pay little to no attention to the things God was trying to communicate to them through the prophets. God still tries communicating to his people through all sorts of means, primarily through Scripture, but not solely through Scripture, because God still calls people to speak. If God only spoke through Scripture, then there would be zero need for pastors, evangelists, teachers, and a whole host of ministry positions. But what we read in Scripture itself is that God calls people, even ill-equipped people, to serve in certain capacities within the body of Christ. And even those ill-equipped people serving in those speaking capacities need people speaking into their lives. I've come across quite a few pastors over the years, or I shouldn't say quite a few. They're memorable people for sure, but I don't think it's the majority or anything like that. I've come across a few pastors over the years who have reached the point where they have spent significantly more time in their life doing the talking than doing the listening, and it shows in their attitude. The unwillingness to listen to the things God wants to say to his people through called and commissioned voices can happen just as easily with a pastor as it can with a layperson. In fact, it may even be easier for a pastor to become unwilling and resistant to listening because they don't feel like they're in a position where they have to sit underneath the authority of anyone else. And so the invitation to be willing and receptive to hear what God says or God wants to say through people he has called to speak is not an invitation that pertains only to you. This morning, we're going to close with the song, Remember the Empty Grave. The lyrics of this song serve as a reminder that no matter how dark things may seem, no matter how deep a valley may be, there is an empty grave that gives us hope. An empty grave that reminds us that death has no victory. What do we have to fear if we know that the worst thing this world can do does not get the last word? As it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 55 and 56, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Jeremiah is going to show us through the story of the prophet, is going to show us the prophet down with Israel in the valley. But through it all, he's going to hold tight to the hope that there is something amazing on the other side of exile. So as we sing this morning, remember the hope that we have on the other side of all of life's challenges, even death itself. Do not be afraid. I am with you. Go ahead and stand as we sing.